are going for some big stuff over these weeks. We're going for big, big stuff, and the testimonies are rolling in. But I believe that there's a new culture being framed up, that we have prayed that it would be on earth as it is in heaven. Don't you dare put a limit on that prayer being answered. Don't you dare draw a line now when you've been asking for 2,000 years, the church, that it would be on earth just like heaven. We've been praying that we would put on Christ. We've been praying that we would be his resting place, and he will make his resting place glorious, and he will glorify the house of his glory. The house is you, and he wants to make you fit for a king. He wants to beautify you. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And for too long, we've demeaned the body. In fact, it's gone on since early church where John wrote, if anyone says Jesus didn't come in a body, you know, ignore them. Because they were saying that bodies were unclean. But he said, no, the gospel is Jesus came in a body and he redeemed the body and he saved the body and he made us fit for the future in the body. And that corruption puts on life. And it says, I will not let your Holy One see decay. Jesus could not decay. If he was still buried now, he would still be as fresh as the day he lied down there, because his body was beyond corruption. That's what the Psalms say, that he couldn't see decay. And there's a company of people that are going to be so full of life in these days that every kind of thought of human comprehension that we've had is going to have to be adjusted, which is called repentance. Because repentance is to return to the way God sees reality. We see reality wrong. We think we're temporal, says we're eternal. We think we're young or maybe 70 or 80, but it says we're ancient. Whoa, he foreknew us. We were predestined. We were in him before the foundation of the world. In fact, it says when it talks about grace and immortality, this shocked me. I was reading again 2 Timothy where it talks about we've been given the gospel of life and immortality. I looked at the verse above and it says this grace was given to you before the foundation of the earth. But now has been revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Why have we not seen it? Why have we not understood it? But listen, the verse before, it says, this purpose and grace which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. Did you hear that? I mean, Paul doesn't mind messing up with people's grid. He doesn't mind smashing the matrix. He doesn't mind blowing up every conception you've got about humanity and about your divine nature and your union in him. He's saying that this grace and this purpose, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. And then the next verse is so outrageous. How could he write it to Timothy? It says, but now has been revealed. So what was given to you before time is now supposed to be revealed. Did you hear that? What was given to you before time is now supposed to be revealed, which is this, through the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has abolished death. Abolished. We're going to look at that word in a minute. He's got rid of it. He's nullified it. He's fired it. There's no purpose for death. And brought life and immortality, life and incorruptibility. Surely it should just say that he's brought life. But it says life and immortality. I've looked it up. It means immortality. I thought maybe there was going to be some alternative meaning, but it literally means this. There's like 3 or 4 definitions in Strong's, but it means the incorruption of the physical body. That the physical, it means the nullification of the effects of death on the human form. That's what it means. It means he brought life, which you could be born again, born of the Spirit, born from above, a new creation, no more in condemnation. But it says that you can also know in your body the nullification and the end of the effects of death and decay. And we're going to start to see this. We are going to start to see people living extra long lifespans. And some will be immortal. But I'm just going to start with drawing the battle line and saying we've got to go where Enoch went. We've got to go where Elijah went, because they're appearing all over the earth and saying it's time now for it to happen. Even if they hadn't said it was time, we could have ignored time, because you're a new creation. You don't have to listen to times and seasons. Whoa. But a common grace is going to come on all of humanity. Life is going to so come on you that even people that don't know Jesus are going to live a long time. It says in the era to come, if you die at 100, you'll be considered a child. There's a realm of life coming and life expansion. As in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. That we are going to be so full of life, and it begins today. Patricia King says, perhaps some of what the Lord is about to do will shock and awe many people. I dare to tell you, it will shock and awe many people. There's no ifs or maybes in this. It says God is going to be famous. God is going to be famous. It says the nations will remember. They're going to come out of a coma. We are way past an evangelism project right now. We are way past. Whoa. Whoa. As in past historical moves of revolution, there will be those who resist and harden their heart, desiring to hold on to old ways and old mindsets. We're so familiar with growing old. We're so familiar with death. We love our funerals. We're so familiar with it. Some people want to stay there. Some people love it. They probably got coffin.com as a website. Some people don't want to leave that. Whoa! Whoa, change is often difficult because it forces us to rethink hardened opinions and be willing to remove ourselves from the rut of comfortable lifestyles. It's uncomfortable to think that you could live a long life. It's uncomfortable to think that you may have to just shock your friends and family. Oh, but it's a grace coming on this planet. Listen, I put an article on the website that they found a way of making your DNA create the chemical that makes it young. And they move into human testing in 6 months. In 5 years, if the trials go well, they'll be able to give this pill. And all it is a natural thing you already produce. It's not actually a synthetic thing. It's a chemical you already produce that programs your DNA back into its elastic state of being young. And it won't, they say it won't mean you live forever, but it'll mean someone at 60 will have the cellular structure of a 20-year-old. They say that's 5 years. That's 5 years away from human testing. And that's just one technology that's been looked at. Just one technology. Listen, I'm not going to wait for the world to define me. I'm not going to wait for the world to give me a pill that defines me. I'm going to be defined by the life of God himself. And I say the battle is on now. The battle is on to demonstrate a higher reality, a higher manifestation. Whoa! Whoa. Because whether we like it or not, the world is changing. The world is changing. The world as we know it is over. It's changing. However, in spite of those who resist the revolution, there will be those who embrace it, jumping on board and following Jesus into new and uncharted territory. Uncharted territory is before us. Whoa, we need to learn a new science. We've known the science of death and decay. We need to learn the science of life and immortality. Yo! Yo! Whoa, whoa! Whoa! This is the gospel. See, we made the gospel so small. We've demeaned the gospel. It's good news to your body. It's good news to your mind and your spirit. Oh, it's a scandal. We're going to be amazed at his goodness. We're going to fear his goodness. Whoa. Some things that God will manifest in these coming days have never been done before. Never been done before. Things that will stretch our imagination. Listen, if you're struggling by this, let's hammer away at that unbelieving little devil that stands in our gateway trying to block us. This is what Paul said. Him who by inconsequence of the action of his power that is at work within us is able to carry out his purpose and do super abundantly far and above all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes or dreams. I don't think the Bible apologizes about setting the bar really high. I think we should become biblical. In the last days, Hosea 3:5, in the last days, they will tremble in awe of the Lord and of his goodness. We're going to tremble at his goodness. We're going to say, no way, you can't be that good. You can't be that good. It says, in the last days, we will tremble at his goodness. I mean, people, the church has been framing up death and destruction, hasn't it? Saying, in the last days, there'll be troubles and chaos. And how about framing up, in the last days, it says all creation's going to be set free. It says that we'll be full of life. It says we'll have massive lifespans. It says, as he is, so are we in the world. I mean, which courtroom are they listening to? For you know the plans I think towards you, plans to prosper you, not to harm you. So where's the harm coming from? Which courtroom are they landing? There's always another perspective if you go a little bit higher. So we're in the rest. We're in the resting place. His resting place, Isaiah 11:10, which is the body, shall be glorious. Your body will be glorious. Wow. Because loving you is easy because you're beautiful. Is everybody good?
Yeah.
Have you had enough?
No.
Okay. So, be transformed. Be transformed by the renewing. Do not be conformed to this age. Wow. Should we just stop there? Do not be conformed to this age. Wow. Enoch was not conformed to his age. The cross hadn't even happened yet. And he saw a way back into Eden because he saw the before, where the lamb was slain. By the renewing of your mind, renewed in knowledge according to the pattern of the exact image, and we with unveiled face continually seeing. Whew. Continually seeing. As in a mirror, the glory of the Lord are progressively being transformed into his image. So what, you're going to say your body can't be in on that? Because that's what the church has done. It said your body can't be in on the party. But I tell you a mystery, not all of you will die. It's a co-revealing. Listen, Colossians 3:4, the exact life in Christ. Say exact. Exact life in Christ is now repeated in us. We are being co-revealed. We are being co-revealed in the same bliss. We are joined in oneness with him, just as his life reveals you, your life reveals him. Makes me go crazy. This joy is just too much for me to take. Whoa, and this joy, whoa, makes me go crazy inside. Wow, check them out. I'm going to have an explosion of life. Have you started? It's begun. This is what it looks like, phase one. Phase one. Did you know that there's an actual reward on pursuing immortality? Romans 8:7 says this. He will give everlasting life to those who search for glory, honor, and immortality. Another translation. To the one seeking glory and honor and immortality in accordance with endurance and good work, he will render eternal life. Look it up in all the translations. That word immortal, again, is pursuing that you are incorruptible. To those who seek honor and glory and incorruptibility, he will render life. I'm so whacked. I can't tell if this is a great night or a bad night. I'm so whacked. Wow. Do we agree? Ladies and gentlemen, and anything in between, no. Do we agree that it says this, that nature's hope, creation, the cosmos, it says nature, creation itself, is waiting that it will be set free from bondage to decay and corruption and gain an entrance into the glorious freedom of God's children. Think about the verse. They don't preach this. They preach about freedom, but they don't preach about that it wants freedom from death and decay into what you're living in. Complete the logic of the verse, it means that the true full manifestation of sonship has to be life and immortality, because it's saying it wants to go from decay and death into life. Your body is actually groaning for that. Your body wants your spirit to start powering up like it never has before. Your body is groaning. Your body is saying, I'm tired of dying. I'm tired of death. I'm tired of lack. I'm tired of aches and groans. Your body is saying, I want more of what my spirit has. I want my spirit man to overshadow my body like Adam. I remember before. My DNA remembers. My body remembers. There's a record in you. It's time to start overshadowing our bodies. It's time to begin to engage our bodies and transfigure and begin to include them. Whoa. Whoa. It's time to learn the science of life, that there's a bad trinity. I told you guys about it. Bad, 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 good, bad. So what's the end of bad? Law. Oh, good one. Who said that? Law. And what does that produce? Sin. And what does sin like to do? Death. That's not nice. That's bad. Now, what have we been given in Jesus? I'll give you a clue. The first word starts with G. Yes, grace. Which means your performance has nothing to do with it. Grace has produced what? As a gift, what has it given you? Righteousness. Rightness. Or holiness. It means you have got the righteousness of God. And what has that produced? Life. Whoa, abundant life or enjoy life. So Satan comes to kill, steal, nasty bench, kill, steal, destroy. Jesus came to give us, he came to give us joy, enjoy life abundant, which is not the same as what we had. It's an overflow. Okay, let's keep going. If anyone needs a drink, just get one. I'm just going to go a bit longer. Well, how are we doing for time? Oh, time's gone tonight. So listen, Romans 5. When Adam sinned, the entire world was affected. True? Do you know one of the effects of that was animals lost their ability to speak? If you read the book of Jubilees, which is quoted in Jude, the Testament of Moses, it says that animals could all communicate with one voice, and after the fall, that was removed from them. You have to consider the implications of you becoming a life-giving spirit, that you're going to affect animals, that animals' DNA is going to be reactivated. We know it's possible scripturally. You know that Balaam's donkey talked. Oh. You know Columba's horse knew when Columba was going to die. The horse, you know, leaned on his chest and knew the day that the angels were coming to take Columba, you know. Francis of Assisi had an amazing engagement with the animals. It was though, listen, so sin entered human experience and death was the result. It was though the entire human race sinned when Adam did. And so death followed this sin, casting a shadow of all of humanity. That's really bad. Bad. Bad, okay? I'm giving you clues to help, all right? Bad. So the law came and jacked it up even more. It says in Scripture that sin made sin even more active. It was like it powered it up even more. So, and the law was actually a marriage contract into the tree of death. It was a contractual marriage into the law of sin and death, with no divorce possible. That's what happened. The only way out of it was death. Because when you die, you're free from your marriage. Don't think too loud now. So Scripture says this: when I heard God's commandment, sin sprang to life and brought with it a death sentence. Sin, by means of the commandment, built a base of operations within me to overpower me and put me to death. And Satan was the governor over it, it says in Scripture, that Satan governed death. And he created a system of decay over the human race. Bad. Very, who said very bad? Extra points for saying very. So the sting of death is sin. The sting of death is sin. And the strength of sin is the law. That's what it says. In 1 Corinthians 15:56, the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. So we were powerless, and we reaped in our bodies decay, sickness, because we were hooked up in a really bad marriage that was producing bad fruit. Praise be to Jesus Christ. That's what Paul says at this point. He says, praise be to Jesus Christ who got me out of that mess and put me where I always wanted to be. So listen, why have we got a truce with the law of sin and death? Religion, because it's the house of religion. Because religion thrives off separation. Religion thrives off it's in the future, not now. Religion thrives on that you can't do anything, that you're a victim. Religion creates a system that you're the victim of life. It's, you can't do anything about it. You're powerless. You're going to die. You're going to go through this. You're going to go through that. And it's separation from God. So it's like God's over there. You're here. But the tree that he's established of life is the divine fusion between him and you, where all distance and delay has been cancelled at the cross, and he has created one new man. Wow. I got that out. That was awesome. That was a hard sentence. So I'm just going to quickly read some of Romans, and I want you to get whacked by it. Don't miss it. So listen, I want to talk to you about how he separated you from these things, right? At one time, you were dead in your sins, Colossians. Your desires controlled by sin were not circumcised. But God gave you new life together with Christ. He forgave us all our sins. Okay, so what am I doing right now? I'm killing sacred cows. The law works off the fact that you've sinned. And it's the platform for these. So Jesus Christ comes to destroy the platform. Because if he destroys the platform, the house collapses. So he went in for the kill. He went in for the law. And it says this, he forgave us all our sins. He wiped out what the law said we owed. So your debt to the law, which was like 100%, with Jesus went to zero. And it crumbled the foundation because it couldn't get a record in you. The law couldn't tether into you because all it saw was Jesus' life. Okay, let's keep going. It says this, the law stood against us, it judged us, but he has taken it away and nailed it to the cross. He actually took the law and destroyed it. Listen, the law, it judged us, but he has taken it and nailed it to the cross. He took away the weapons, which was the law, because the principalities and powers used this as a weapon. And they were allowed to give you death because you broke the law. Jesus nailed it and took away the teeth and the weapons that Satan used to govern humanity with death. He took away the weapons and powers and authorities. He made a public show of them. He won the battle over them by dying on the cross. So he broke the marriage covenant with the bad marriage. On behalf of us all, he embraced death so that the marriage ended. So the marriage contract that you had with this evil trinity was destroyed through Jesus dying and planting us into his death fully, as if you died that day. You fully died that day. He absorbed all of creation and humanity into his body, and he died for us. Therefore, one died for all. Paul says, therefore, all died in him. And this is the sad thing, is that people are still living as if this exists. And the church is still propagating it by not teaching transcendence. So all we're doing is fighting this all the time when this is not your reality. You've got to get this. Listen, we preached for years. You know, how many of you guys got saved through someone saying Jesus will forgive your sin? Yeah, completely. I got born again in one of the churches in Cardiff. They said Jesus will forgive your sin. If you say, I come into my life, he will get rid of it. Well, that means the chain's broken and death has to be the shift. The chain of command, the tower's toppled because death is supported like this. It's got the law at the bottom, sin, and death. And Jesus took out the bottom layer and collapsed the house into rubble. Oh, come on, come on, come on, come on. You've got to see this. You've got to see what I'm preaching. Paul's gospel. The words of Paul. Let's keep going. Let's keep going. Colossians 1:21. Yet now he has fully reconciled you and restored you to your original design. He accomplished this by dying our death in a human body. He fully represented us in order to fully represent us again in blameless innocence. Innocent. We have to preach innocence. This is the gospel that you're innocent. You are innocent. That's the tree that you're planted in is innocent, blameless innocence. Oh, it says you are planted in blameless innocence, face to face with God, with no sense of guilt, suspicion, regret, or accusation. All charges against us are officially cancelled. You got to get this. Why am I preaching this? I'm giving you the science of immortality. You have to get off the works-orientated, performance-orientated, orphan spirit. That's the wrong pathway. Negative stinking thinking is the wrong pathway. Fear is the wrong pathway. Groaning, complaining is the wrong pathway. Moaning is the wrong pathway. There's a tree of life, and he's calling us into the science of life, which is based on grace, outrageous grace, that he loves you, that he loves you so much, that he says, turn away from me. You have dove's eyes. Hadley, you have dove's eyes. Turn away from me. Your belly button is a wine goblet. I want to drink out of your belly button, Hadley. That's what it says in the Song of Solomon. I mean, we've not preached in it. We've not preached enough goodness and grace and love. Love as vast as the ocean. It should cascade over us. It should wash our bodies and wash our minds. Wash every doubt out of you. Every sickness is just a frequency. It's a biology. It's a disease that's anchored in a trading platform of unbelief. He's challenging us to repent to a higher perspective. He's challenging us to come back to the blueprint. That you are free. Now listen, this is what happened. I write to you, dear brothers and sisters who are familiar with the law. Is it true to say you guys were familiar with the law? But don't you know when a person dies, it ends his obligation to the law? For example, a married couple is bound by the law to remain together until separated by death. Till death do we part. But when one spouse dies, the other is released from the law of marriage. So then if a wife is joined to another man while still married, she commits adultery. But if her husband dies, she's obviously free. She's free from the marriage contract and may marry another man without being charged with adultery. It's dead. It's finished. Your bad relationship, your bad marriage is over. So, my dear brothers and sisters, the same principle applies to your relationship with God. For you died to your first husband, the law, by being co-crucified with the body of the Messiah. So now you are free to marry another. Wow, you are free. You're free to marry your true husband. You're free to marry the one whose mouth is like wine and honey. You are free to be locked into the love chamber. You are free to be locked in the wine room. You are free. All that his house is yours because he's your covering. He's your marriage contract. He's the name. He's got the ketubah over you. His house is your house. His name is now your name. His identity is now your identity. His food is now your food. His bed is now your bed because you're married. You're married. You're married. You're married to Jesus. Wow. And there's no death. There's no death on his table. There's no sickness on his table. We feast in the presence of our enemies. Man, I'm feeling God's heart for you. Wow. Oh, 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 man, I felt it. I felt like pure longing, pure desire. I couldn't. It was like an ocean that I couldn't even swim in. And how he felt our pain. How he bore our infirmities. And how he loves us. And it was just so overwhelming there. That's like violent love, I just felt. Violent, consuming love. And that's the type of love that's going to swallow up death. And he's looking for people who will let him be the husband. He is looking for those who want the burning union. The burning union. Wow. I'm seeing it now. Some of you are going to have such a love baptism. It will go on all night. You will not be able to get out of it. You will be locked into love. Marriage bliss. You know, he came to free us from the law of sin and death and release us into life. We need to start seeing him for who he is and his raw passion and love for the world. Don't call unclean what I have called clean. Listen to this. I'm going to just go for how sin's over now. It says in Romans chapter 6, we have died to sin once and for all. As a dead man passes away from this life, so how could we live under sin's rule a moment longer? Or have you forgotten that all of us who were immersed into union with Jesus, the Anointed One, were immersed into union with his death? Sharing in his death by our baptism means that we were co-buried and entombed with him, so that when the Father's glory raised Christ from the dead, we were also raised with him. And we know that since the Anointed One has been raised from the dead to die no more, his resurrection life has vanquished death and its power over him is finished. But where is he now in you? You're his body. So let it be the same way with you. Since you are now joined with him, you must continually view yourselves as dead and unresponsive to sin's appeal while living daily for God's pleasure in union with Jesus. That's the new Trinity that he came to give life and joy. You're meant to be permanently saturated in honey and wine. You're the land flowing with milk and honey. You're his Israel. You're his Jerusalem. You're his land flowing with milk and honey. And he wants to live in that land and possess that land and occupy that land and drink from the honey of your life and the milk of your life. Sin is a dethroned monarch. It's not king anymore. So you must no longer give it an opportunity to rule over your life, controlling how you live and compelling you to obey its desires and cravings. So then refuse to answer its call to surrender your body as a tool for wickedness. See, it comes back to the body. This is why we're talking about immortality in the body. Whoa. But keep yielding. Oh, listen to this. It says, instead, passionately answer God's call to keep yielding your body to him. As one who has now experienced resurrection life. You now live for his pleasure, ready to be used for his noble purpose. Remember this, sin will not conquer you, for God already has. Wow, you are not governed by law, but governed by the reign of the grace of God. Sin was a really bad marriage and the law, highly toxic. And it produced a corrupted and enslaved body. And the wages of sin is death. But this is the happy news. That now is over. For a dead man can safely be said to be immune to the power of sin. From now on, think of it this way. Sin speaks a dead language that means nothing to you. God speaks your mother tongue and you hang on every word. You are dead to sin and alive to God. This is what Jesus did. It says your old self was crucified with him so that sin may be rendered powerless. I'm going to go through a couple of translations. Sin may be rendered powerless, might be neutralized, destroyed, crushed and fatally wounded. I love this, the Amplified. Sin might be made ineffective and inactive for evil. The mirror is rendered useless. Sin may be done away with, brought to nothing, broken. Finally, you guys are doing great sticking with me. I'm sorry, this is not easy to communicate. Death, would you agree so far? I've shown you that the law, you got out of it and it was scrapped. So that platform went, would you agree that according to what I just said, sin has been rendered powerless and useless and ineffective for action? So why then, why has the church not taken down death? Because it's the logical fruit of agreeing, because the whole church agrees that law and sin got dealt with. So, but why have we kept the last part of that trilogy? Trinity. Because we see it as a spiritual thing, yeah, instead of a reality, because we separate it. We separate it from our world and make it distant. Okay, free from death. Okay, last point then. Whoa, end of death. Back to the beginning. But now has been revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to life through the gospel, 2 Timothy 1:10. Now this grace is revealed through the appearance of our Savior, Jesus Christ. He destroyed death. Christ, our Savior, defeated death and brought us the good news. And it shines like a light that offers a life that never ends. Listen to this. Our Savior Jesus Christ, who has annulled death and brought to life, light, life and immortality by the glad tidings. Quickly, let's finish with this. The word for annulled is this, katergeo, and it means to render idle, unemployed, inactive, inoperative. Should we keep going? Death. Listen, to have no further efficiency. This is from Vines. To deprive of force, influence, or power. Are you hearing me? Death has been deprived of its influence and power over you. Listen to what I'm saying. Listen. Let it break through now. Let it break through into your heart what I'm saying. I'm saying something massive that I started to learn from Enoch, and I started to learn from the heavens. Enoch was the first person I met that was immortal, incorruptible, and I had to fundamentally re-examine the word and start to see what was actually being said. Death is not the end. By faith, Enoch skipped death. By faith, faith kept Enoch from dying. It means this, to cause to cease, to put an end to do away with, to pass away, to be done away, to be severed from, separated from, discharged from, loosed from. Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. The light which gives life. We broke up with death. Here it is in a nutshell. Just as one person did it wrong, bad. Just as one person did it wrong and got us in all this trouble with sin and death, I'm quoting Paul, another person did it right and got us out of it. But more than just getting us out of trouble, he got us into life. Sin reigned in the sphere of death. Now grace reigns. Through pure passion for us, took us out of the mess we're in, and he framed up a new king called grace, and we're in the sphere of grace, and grace produces life. Sin reigned in the sphere of death. Now grace reigns through God's restorative justice, eclipsing death and leading to eternal life. What does that mean, eclipsing? It means you can't see the thing behind it. Life has eclipsed death, so you can't see it. Whoa. We were like seeds planted together in the same soil. Oh, we're in the same soil as Jesus. We're in the same pot. We were like seeds planted together in the same soil to be co-quickened to life. If death got the upper hand through one man's wrongdoing, can you imagine the breathtaking recovery life makes? Sovereign life in those who grasp it with both hands, this wildly extravagant life gift. Wow, that's it, Pat. Come on. Let's change it. let's change what happens from now on in. Wade Taylor, friend of Nancy Cohen's, in his 60s, I think it was, or 70s, he learned that you could eat the body of Jesus and get younger. Over several years, he got younger till he was younger than his son, who was in his 50s. His hair color came back. His hair came back. He would go on to try and use his bus pass, and people wouldn't believe that he was a pensioner because of how he looked. Nancy Cohen told me that 86, he grabbed like two big suitcases that she had on a trip and walked up three flights of stairs to where she went with no effort at all. Because he'd had a revelation that there was life in the body of Jesus Christ, that he could take communion and participate in the life, that if he ate it in a worthy manner, he could live and not die, that we had that technology to be ever-living ones. I've reached the end of this session, that we are wrapped up into life. Therefore, if any man is in union with Christ, union is about willingly entangling yourself into the life of another. If you willingly entangle yourself into the life of Jesus, you are a new creation. The old is gone. The old order is finished and done. And every limitation that you know can now be broken. Okay? You have got the Spirit of life. And he is going to present his church to himself as a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Behold, all things have been... All things have become new. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. Let that living word go into you. May he sanctify you by the word. May the word set you free. He desires truth in your innermost being. Eat the truth right now. Devour the truth from heaven. Wow. And Lord, now we come under your marriage ketubah. We come into the marriage contract that we repent in the courtroom for dishonoring our husband. And we've said that you don't protect. And we've said that you don't shield. And we've lived as if we're not married. But we have died to sin and death. And we are married. We are married. We are married to you. We are married to you. And we come into the bridal chambers of union. Let all the performance drop off you right now. Do you know the performance is irrelevant to the Lord? He wants your heart. And we cannot frame up a new mystical era based on performance. That's death. This is bridal love. You are the object of his beauty, and he is fully satisfied. Fully satisfied in you. He has given you his name, his marriage name, and he has given you his house. His inheritance is now your inheritance with the Father. You are a co-heir with him, and he is honored and blessed that you are his wife, that you are his Jerusalem, that you are his Israel. Now his promise has come. Now his land flows with milk and honey.